Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Over the last 4 years, our community came together to give nearly $15 million to our local nonprofits through the Big Give. In 2018, the goal is extra big, $7 million. This will be the biggest give ever. Do you plan to participate in the Big Give as a donor, as a nonprofit? There are lots of ways to give in San Antonio, Big Give aside. Also, how healthy is the San Antonio nonprofit sector? Why is this sector so important, and what can you do to help in different ways? This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in 210-614-8980. Do you want to launch a nonprofit? Do you want to take your nonprofit to the next level? Do you want to make sure that your donations are being used in the way that you have intended? 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org, and you can tweet at us at TPR Source. Our guest this hour, the remaining part of the hour, we're joined by Rebecca Brune. She is the President, Chief Operating Officer of the San Antonio Area Foundation. Scott McEnench is the CEO of the Nonprofit Council. Laura Watts is with us, the President of Impact San Antonio. And again, the number to call in is 210-614-8980. So, Rebecca Brune, welcome back to The Source. It's great to have you here again. And Rebecca, tell me more about, what do you think of, how healthy is San Antonio's nonprofit sector?
You know, we have, at the Area Foundation, we have such an incredible role that we play in this ecosystem. And if you think about it, right, it's this cadre of donors that, provide investments and gifts to be able to distribute it to the nonprofit community, all the way to the continuum of actually the nonprofits that provide services and have their pulse on what the needs are in the community. And I think our community, right, our nonprofit community, has done this incredible job of providing services and aligning to needs in community, in such a efficient and effective way. And I think the other piece is, at the Area Foundation, we have this opportunity where we're able to hear the eagerness and the commitment and the passion to want to grow and build and scale those services in a meaningful and intentional way. So I think it's very healthy. I think one of the pieces where the nonprofit community is also wanting to partner more with the business community and the philanthropic community is around the leadership development and bringing in skills and talents and knowledge base, right, to improve the business models that they operate under, and only to grow stronger and to be able to expand capacity and be able to do more. So, I think that they're aware of weaknesses, an incredible willingness and desire to grow to be able to be more effective and efficient in community. I don't know, Scott, that's kind of...
well, Scott, over at the Nonprofit Council, y'all did a deep dive and you looked at the San Antonio nonprofit world, a sector, and you found some interesting things.
Yeah, we did a State of the Sector report. It's the first kind of look and snapshot of the nonprofit sector in not only San Antonio, but we reached out to 13 counties around Bexar, specifically to agencies that have participated over the past 4 years in Big Give. We had a pretty healthy communication list with those folks, as well as sharing databases with the Area Foundation, United Way, and SA 2020. So we had roughly 1,200 unduplicated agencies that we surveyed. And I think at the end of the day, we ended up with about 400 that actually completed the entire survey. And what's interesting is, to complete the survey, we went a little bit further than just, how are you doing? What are the services you provide? What are your needs? But what are your financial, what's your financial situation? And what was your finances and your year end, the last 12 months of your operating year? So it did go into a little bit more detail on what those needs are as far as financially. And, as Becca said, I do agree with the nonprofit sector wanting to operate a little bit more in the business world and needs to actually figure out some agencies on how to operate like a business in a business model. So while the donations that folks get through foundations and a lot of grants are specific to programs and don't necessarily cover operating expenses. I think things like the Big Give and individual donations that come through that and other ways to nonprofits are critical for those general operating expenses.
Now, the Impact San Antonio, Laura Watts, you're the president of Impact San Antonio. You guys have taken on an interesting model, trying to maximize the giving potential of women in San Antonio. Can you talk about what y'all do?
Sure. The Impact San Antonio is a women's philanthropic giving grant-making organization where women, either individually or in groups, donate $1,000, and that $1,000 is pooled to create $100,000 grants. So we are a funder of $100,000 grants. That is our goal. We have raised over $2.6 million to date, and that's been since 2004. The last couple of years, we've been able to actually award four $100,000 grants. And so there are not a lot of funders who give $100,000 grants, and that can be transformative to a nonprofit agency that is awarded one of these grants. This year, our goal is to reach five so that we can give five $100,000 grants, one in each of our focus areas. And we have five focus areas that we accept applications from and that we make awards in, which include arts and culture, education, environment, recreation, preservation, family, and health and wellness. And those are areas that are important to any community that it wants to thrive and be successful.
Okay, we're going to be digging into that. All these different areas, there's a lot to talk about. The phone lines are also open. The number is 210-614-8980. And Jennifer is on the line. And Jennifer, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you so much. It's very kind of you to take my call.
Go right ahead.
I was just calling because I wanted to mention something about nonprofits. Like here in San Antonio, for example, we have a wonderful nonprofit called Sarah Roberts French Home, which is an all-female nursing home for mostly individuals who are on the lower end of the income spectrum. I know that this home, for example, because I've worked with it, has been struggling in the past. They're part of the Big Give, and they're one of the examples of the small nonprofits that the Big Give can really help. But they are so small, they don't really have the ability to, or the budget, for example, to advertise much and to indicate that they're part of that. I would love to hear some information from some of your callers and then some of the individuals who are on about ways that these types of nonprofits that really have such an incredibly limited budget, especially in her case, because she's one of the last all-female nursing homes, I think even in the state, because they can't get a lot of funding because they don't integrate the lovely ladies that they help. How can they better take advantage of the Big Give, and how can they better get, I guess you could say, a bigger piece of it? Because that's a wonderful place that's really going through financial difficulty, and I know for a fact that they're doing everything they can for their ladies.
All right, Jennifer, thank you for the call. And also, if you're listening and you have an organization that you care about and you think you want people to know about it during the Big Give, call us up, 210-614-8980. Give us your elevator pitch so why people should consider your organization during the Big Give, which is on March 22nd. That's just coming up here. So to Jennifer's question, and so Scott, is that...
Yeah, I'll field this right off the bat. First of all, I will let folks listening know that new this year for the Big Give planning team and as the organizer, we are investing this year over $200,000 in paid media and marketing for the Big Give. So we have never done that before. As she mentioned, most nonprofits do not have general discretionary funds for marketing and advertising. It's just something that they just don't have. I mean, it's mostly program costs and things like that. So what we have heard over the past summer, when we had some community meetings with our nonprofit participants last year, the resounding voice from them was, what is the Big Give going to do to help market and advertise and let the general public know more about this?
We got to tell these stories.
Yeah, we have to tell the stories. And I'll tell you what another piece of the Big Give, and I hope, and I'm sure this agency's staff went to our training camp, which was this year, it was a full one-day conference. we had a lot of speakers come in and just talk about just that, you know, telling your story, not necessarily in spending thousands of dollars to get a professional video done, but things that you can do on your smartphone, videos and free editing tools, and how you can use your social media reach to kind of get your message out there. And I think that's one of the things that the Big Give platform does. And I hope this year, with our true investment in trying to make this thing grow and get to a broader sense of a community, to let folks know that all these 622 nonprofits are on that page to donate to, will sort of help the smaller agencies as well.
All right, another caller. This is Toby. Toby, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate you. I'm the director of a local community band here called the County Line Community Band, and we bring free concerts to folks in the community that we support. But one of the things that we also do is we also provide an outlet for young musicians to come in and learn from more experienced musicians. But as you said earlier, you know, trying to get operating expenses paid for is a challenge. And my question to you is, you know, how can you avoid donor fatigue? That's one of the concerns that we have with our board and myself, is we don't want to continue to go to the same areas and wear people out. So my question is how do you avoid donor fatigue?
All right, Toby, thanks for the question. Rebecca Brun with the San Antonio Area Foundation, is that a problem?
You know, it's interesting. Right now we're going through this process and we're reviewing capital naming right proposals. And interestingly enough, one of the things that I'm seeing in that is there are some very consistent players throughout the entire group of 122 applications. And so, you know, I think given our community, right, and given the fact that we have a smaller sector of corporate givers, it's just natural that I think there's a limited number and you're going to go to the same people. And so, you know, just even looking at these applications and also knowing and having conversations with nonprofits, there's a short list of go-to, right, that everybody goes to. And
it's like Red McCombs, Tom Frost, Valero, HEB.
I mean, you name it. And just even corporate foundations, but individuals in philanthropic giving. So I think that, you know, this is an idea, right, that it's really year-round. And so while you're submitting the grants, it's also this idea of if you know that everybody's going to the same people and that there is this element of donor fatigue, I guess the question becomes, what are we doing, right? What are you doing individually to cultivate donors at all levels throughout the year, right? And when we think of donors, you know, start at a smaller level, right, and cultivate them to begin to give more. And I think that's part of what the whole beauty of the Big Give.
Yeah, that's right. And that seems what Impact is doing. People are not being asked to clean out their bank account. They're being asked to come together as a group and contribute, and then through and acting as a group, they're able to see big change.
Absolutely. That is actually the whole concept behind Impact San Antonio. Where else? I mean, it feels like I'm giving $100,000. I'm making my $1,000 donation, and that gets pooled. And it's a diverse group of women coming together and are able to give $100,000, or this year, if we reach our goal, $500,000. So it's exactly what Becca's saying, is it that takes a very diverse group of people. And then, of course, the nonprofits that apply for our grants are it's any nonprofit serving the Bexar County area and the seven surrounding counties that can apply for the grants as well. So it's a nice way to be very diversified in your giving and who is giving.
And can I just say really quick, I have to compliment the Impact San Antonio in the sense that some of the organizations that I've known that have received it, that they've been able, again, pulling resources together to give a larger amount, but what they've also done is to be able to take more risk. So there are some very innovative programming, whether it's growing onto a new program or just building something that exists, to see that sort of a massive resource to be able to grow something and to be able to take a risk on a new innovative spin to the programs is so exciting, and you guys do such a great job.
Can you talk about some of the organizations that have received your grants?
Well, we have one that's a partnership, a public-private partnership with Bexar County Partners for Youth, which was an opportunity to expand a wilderness trail. And Judge Peter Sakai has been very outspoken about how beneficial that has been to be able to have at-risk youth and their families.
Can we just announce that he's a saint? He's a saint, Judge Peter Sakai.
Absolutely. He's wonderful to work with. He's been a great supporter and advocate of Impact San Antonio as well as a result. And what this has been able to do, I mean, open up the outdoors to youth at risk. It also teaches them stewardship and responsibility because they are charged with giving, having to do maintenance to this trail. But it's been transformative for them. So we also are in economic grants that have helped with the economy. For example, teaching skills. One of our in 2017 grant recipients was Northside Independent School District. It was a construction project, construction careers academy, teaching construction skills, a much needed program to teach kids how to, and it's from the ground up, figuratively, how to build houses. And the project itself was building a small house that would, they're going to use it to market. It's going to be on wheels, but it's a small house. Ultimately, they'll sell it and be able to build another small house. And they're teaching these life skills and future skills for youth. And then another one was the Westside Development Corporation, La Pantera. Again, another skills-based grant that we've funded, teaching printing services.
Seems like you have a soft spot for kids, trying to help our kids.
Kids, elderly, it is a vast a spectrum of recipients.
But you're hitting them in different areas in different ways. And so do you find that some of your participants, some of your givers, they're coming in, they're testing the waters, and they say, I can do this, and then I enjoy this, and I want to do more?
Absolutely. And what is what our members realize is they are able to take care of a lot of different areas. Like I mentioned, we have five focus areas. So they may be passionate about certain areas, and this gives them the opportunity. They have everyone has an equal vote. And
so you all vote on who eventually will get the get the grant.
We have this unbelievable night called Grant Award Night, where our I can go through the whole process, but ultimately we have finalists who present in each of these focus areas on Grant Award Night. Last year we had eight nonprofit agencies that were our finalists that presented their projects to the membership. The membership votes that evening, and the votes are counted, and the $100,000 grants are awarded that evening. And so it is, you have the ability to give to all different types of programs, all different age ranges, and again, in all the different focus areas. It's
all
wonderful.
Right. We're going to talk more about Impact San Antonio and the Big Give coming up. Ask some questions about how it works, who is giving in San Antonio, how do the nonprofits in San Antonio compare to other cities. If you got a question or a comment about a nonprofit, want to talk about yours, give us a call, 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this break. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Nonprofits in San Antonio fill the gap that the government can't do and businesses can't do. They can provide services. They can help the impoverished, the infirm. They can provide arts and culture. So much that needs to be done in our society. Nonprofits step up to fill that role, but they need your help. What can be done? What can you do? What can we all do with cash or just by showing up and volunteering sometimes to help local nonprofits? Number to call in with your question or comment, 210-614-8980. Also, we got the Big Give coming up. That's on March 22nd. If you want to call up with your elevator pitch, why people should pay attention to your organization during Big Give, we'll give you a shot. Okay, let's go to the phones first. We got Armando here. And Armando, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm on the board for Mission Road Ministries and the Unicorn Center. And what I want to just shout out to our citizens and our corporate businesses is how important it is to be engaged and be involved with nonprofits. At least investigate, get to know them a little better. I'm very privileged to be on a board that runs it very, very, very tight, almost corporate-like operation, looking at efficiency, et cetera. But the most important thing is to provide care and love beyond any type of funding that they may get from city, state, is to always offer way and above what that typically would do and would give. And that really happens only when we get additional funding, because as you know, so much state federal funding has been cut and we're all feeling it. And so I hope that San Antonians and everybody beyond our region can also look at that.
All right, Armando, thank you for the call. I'm going to get a lot of callers here, but I want to get to that point that you brought up about federal funds and other funds being cut. And so is the idea that nonprofits are going to fill the gap, that once there were programs, there were, you know, government dollars to do it, and now, and so Scott McInnish, is that happening?
In a big way, not only here, but I think across a lot of communities. And I think that's one of the reasons why these giving days are so important. And when Becca talked about, you know, the same 10 or 12 corporations or individual philanthropists that nonprofits go out to, for funding for, I think it's more important for them now to grow that donor base of individual donors. And to the point that Becca makes, and some, one of the trainings that we offer during the Big Give this year is, you know, when you're talking about donor fatigue, don't just reach out to donors for the ask. Mm-hmm. You know, keep them engaged throughout the year. When, after your Big Give campaign, throughout the year, let those donors who donated through the Big Give know what their money has done to, you know, help support that organization, you know, whether it's a quarterly email or a phone call to some of the larger donors. I think that means a lot to individual donors. And I think we really do need to, okay, so we look at the last 3 years of the Big Give website, and we've had roughly over 40,000 individual donations come through that site. But we're in a 14-county area with almost 2 million people. We can grow that number exponentially. We just have to get the word out. And we're hoping that this year with that advertising campaign that we'll get make a little sizable dent in that number of donations coming in.
Okay, another caller. This is JP. JP, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, thanks for having me. I used to actually be in commercial radio, and I was also a board member and a trustee for the Golden Crescent United Way. So I just wanted to say I think it's great that you guys are teaching some of these nonprofits about how to maximize their marketing and also look for ways to get the word out without necessarily spending any dollars. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask if one of the ways that one of the things that you're teaching them is how to ask for services as opposed to just asking for dollars, maybe getting some marketing firms or someone like that to maybe help them with services as opposed to just asking for dollars every time.
All right, JP, great question. So Rebecca Brun, she's the president, chief operating officer for the San Antonio Area Foundation.
So one of the ways that the Area Foundation has done that, and this has been consistent over the years, and we've just built it, is we offer a series of board development and board training, and open to both the nonprofits, but also, you know, individuals in the community who are either sitting on boards or have a desire to. And the reason that's important is because one of the things that we really focus on is looking at a board and comprising them with skill sets, right? What's missing, right? What operationally, either you don't have the resources to be able to, you know, buy the service or cultivate the staff or hire the staff to do, what are the positions on the board that would help to further operationalize and execute on your mission? And that's a really, I think, profoundly, a lot of nonprofits and organizations step away and they do reevaluate their board and who's on there and what are the skill sets they need to bring to the table to do exactly what you're just talking about, right? It's not necessarily about hiring new staff or building new operational infrastructure. What are the talents and skill sets and the assets that your board members can bring? And last year we had three different trainings and we had a little over 900 participants among the three. And so I think there's a real desire for that kind of information and putting it into place. I do want to say something just to kind of give a plug overall to San Antonio and the culture of philanthropy we have. The Philanthropy Roundtable did a study last year, and San Antonio actually, of the top 15 cities across the nation, we're in the top 15. So yes, while we have a smaller corporate pool, we are one of the top 15. And if you look at our, you know, you look at our income, and we're actually above Austin, which is pretty significant. Now, of course, we're behind Dallas and Houston, but that's pretty significant. So I just want us all to kind of pat ourselves in the back that we do have a culture of philanthropy in our community. So there's a lot to grow from.
But when you look at different measurements of how San Antonio compares to other communities, it varies. And the report that we have from the Nonprofit Council, you look at the number of nonprofit organizations based upon the metropolitan area. San Antonio has an average of 29 organizations per 10,000 people. Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, they got 32 organizations, 28 in Houston. So we surpass Houston, but 33 in Austin. And that would be expected because it is the state capital and there's going to be certain things organized there. So you have to look at the number of organizations, also the number of people who are involved in these organizations, how much money they raise, and the level of impact. So there's a lot you have to examine in trying to figure out how healthy is our a nonprofit sector. So Scott?
Yeah. And I think, folks tend to look at, the financial needs as the number one priority. And again, I appreciate the caller's suggestion on those in-kind donations, because a lot of nonprofits also operate on volunteer services. So volunteer hours are a very important piece of this puzzle and the community. So, and that equates into dollars. So, nonprofits are always looking for those volunteer opportunities, not necessarily for, business services, but just, doing some of the work within the organization. And I agree with Becca. It's a very giving community. Sometimes I think we as a community don't realize the effect of the sector on San Antonio.
But there are organizations like Trish DeBerry runs a PR outfit and they do pro bono work all the time for nonprofits.
Sure. And we, the Big Give has a media company that helps us. And for the first 3 years, it was all in kind work that they did for the Big Give. And, it's very much appreciated, things that we couldn't have paid for. So those things are very critical and important.
And so teaching organizations that you can ask for services, you can ask for help.
You can ask for it. I mean, even go as far as saying, what's your nonprofit discount? Do you offer a nonprofit discount for services if we're going to pay for this? And if they don't, then, ask them why.
Yeah. Talk to the boss. All right, go up the chain. Let's get another. Let me ask you this question. This came from an email. What does it cost a nonprofit to be part of the Big Give? What is the Big Give's cut of the money collected? So Scott McEnany, CEO of the Nonprofit Council, can you answer that?
I sure can. It's very transparent. It's on the website, on the biggiveSA.org, under the drop-down menu, FAQ. All the fees and the upfront participation charge are spelled out. I'm not hesitating. I don't say it's a cut. This is an operation that costs money to run. We are managing 622 agencies through the Big Give site. That platform has to be secure. It has to be a well put together site. We saw that in 2016 when our previous platform provider had a serious crash. That most people remember. We reevaluated. We came up with GiveGab, our national platform right now, who started with us last year and did a phenomenal job. They're a for-profit company as well. It's a $200 participation fee to get in and participate to the Big Give. That's your upfront fee. On the back end, the Nonprofit Council takes a 1% off of the donations that are run through the website, as well as the Area Foundation taking 1%. I will say that our operating budget for the Big Give consistently for the past 3 years has been $250,000. And that's something that the Nonprofit Council has funded and raised on our own with the help of the Area Foundation with some operating expenses. So this is a year-round event that the Nonprofit Council is the lead agency on, and there are expenses involved, and it takes a lot of time to run that thing. And I think as a fundraiser, most nonprofits get that there's a cost to fundraising, and this is a fundraising event.
So typically, you know, there's online type things like where do you raise money online for somebody? They take a bigger cut than that
and you're raising money through your website. You're going to pay credit card fees, so that's just a given. So our back end is about 6.1 total for the fees, and that's credit card, including the 2% Give Gab, and then the 2% from our local foundation and the Nonprofit Council. And again, those are things that we reinvest back into the budget. So at the end of the event, we get our 1%. We put that back into our operating budget, which really kickstarts the budget for next year, because we're spending that budget. Just like this year, we're spending almost 75% of it on marketing today.
If you got a question about the Big Give or about other opportunities to give in San Antonio, want to talk about your organization, the number to call in is 210-614-8980. The Source is going to continue right after this quick break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. There is a philosophy, a tradition of philanthropy in San Antonio, big and small. How is it being manifested now? On March 22nd, we've got the Big Give coming up, and we've got a ramp up to it. What will that day look like? What questions do you have about your favorite organizations that you give to? The number is 210-614-8980. And Margaret is on the line. Hey, Margaret, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, David. How are you?
Okay, go ahead.
I am very involved in the nonprofit community in San Antonio, both as a board member for the Arc of San Antonio, which has been around for many, many years, serving adults and children with disabilities. It's one of the neatest nonprofits in San Antonio and very fiscally responsible. It allows me to be able to go to work because that's where my son spends his day. But in addition to that, I wanted to say that I'm the director of a small nonprofit called the Center for Refugee Services, and we have a very special population of clients that are legally resettled refugees. And without the support of the community, not only would the ARC not exist, but neither would our center. So I just want to put in a plug for all nonprofits and encourage people, whether you can afford a large donation or a small donation, to do something to contribute to the organization that speaks to you. And of course, I hope that people will consider the Center for Refugee Services and the ARC, because without those agencies, thousands of people in San Antonio would not be able to sustain their families and be able to go to work every day.
So, Margaret, thank you for calling. Great pitch. I appreciate it. Let's go straight to LaQuinn. LaQuinn, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I am a board member with San Antonio Threads, and we are a new 501c3, not quite 2 years old, and we provide new clothing for free for teens that between 12 and 21, and we cater to children who are in foster care, who have transitioned out of foster care, are homeless, or in some sort of emergency situations, or are otherwise deserving. We believe we are the only nonprofit in the San Antonio area, and perhaps all of Texas, that provides 100% new clothes, 100% of the time, 100% for free. And we're co-located with Christian Assistance Ministries, and our address is 110 McCullough, and we have a boutique upstairs in the old Dueling Mansion, and it looks like a retail shop. And we reach out to group placement homes, the caseworkers, CASA workers, to have their kids come and shop, and they can shop twice a year.
Awesome.
For totally new outfits.
Thank you, LaQuinn. Thank you for calling in. Let's get Sarah on the air. Hey, Sarah, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm with San Antonio Pets Alive, and we're really excited for the big give this year. We had such a great amount of support last year. We came in second place in donations, and it's really been a great part of, you know, our funding, and we really appreciate the support out in the community. And if for anybody that doesn't know a little bit about what we do, we work closely with the city shelter looking to save animals that are on the euthanasia list that, you know, don't have anywhere else to go and possibly, you know, not going to make it. And so our goal is to save as many animals as we can, since there is an overpopulation, you know, of dogs and cats here in San Antonio that need that love and need the support. And so we do what we can to, you know, save them, bring them to our kennels, get them adopted, rescued, fostered, and, you know, loved.
All right, Sarah, thank you for calling in with that message, San Antonio Pets Alive. So we just heard there's a variety of organizations in San Antonio, a lot of passion, a lot of very professional individuals trying to fill needs that we have here in the community. And but also there's a lot of economic development going on. When we provide this support through philanthropy, through so many people, we are helping the city overall become a much more improved city. And let me go to Laura Watts to respond to that.
Absolutely. A couple of the grants that I mentioned earlier go straight to the economic development of the city. But you take, like, Ecumenical Center was one of the recipients last year of one of our grants, and it was to help complete their Seeds of Hope garden. It's phenomenal what they're doing. They've been called into service in Southern Hills as well, and some of the people have come up here for the counseling, and it's just a wonderful organization. Project Men was another grant recipient of last year. They helped take care of our community through refurbishing equipment like wheelchairs and crutches, and so they bought trucks and some sanitation equipment to help refurbish all that, to help with the disabled in the community, either short-term or long-term disabled. Magic Theater was one of the grant recipients, and their goal is to be able to offer theater to all children of all disabilities, but also economic backgrounds. Again, such a valuable thing to be able to have in this community.
I'm going to get one last caller in on this, and this is Amir. Amir, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm the founder and the executive director of a nonprofit called Summer of Service, SOS, and we educate young people and build up global citizenship through community service here in San Antonio and travel around the world. And I started as a full-time teacher, and I had a student come up to my desk and ask me, she saw a picture of the Eiffel Tower. She said, "What's that?" And I said, "Oh, it's the Eiffel Tower. It's in Paris." And she goes, "Oh, can you take us?" And schools just don't have those kind of programs. A lot of schools just don't do international travel. And so I decided, okay, well, I'm not going to let that stop me. I'll start a nonprofit, and we'll do it. And we've taken over 200 travelers abroad now to 12 countries and counting, and done over 5,000 hours of service here in San Antonio, which also has an economic impact for the community.
Amir, thank you so much for the call. Big give, March 22nd. I want to talk more about what a big party that's going to be.
It's going to be a big party, but first I do have to say, all these callers with these nonprofits, to me, that's the beauty of this
event.
It's
inspiring.
Uplifting. On the Big Give essay, I mean, you can go there, you can search by category, search by city in our 14 county areas. You can find nonprofits on there that you have never heard of and you don't know what they do.
There's something for everyone to give.
There is. And yes, we're making it a big party, number one, so that we can get the media riled up and
you gotta have all that excitement,
advertising. But it's a celebration. I mean, it is a party to celebrate the work the nonprofits do. And what that would look like, and this is something the Nonprofit Council is working on within the next 12 to 18 months, is producing a video, a day without nonprofits. What would that look like in our community? And so, you know, look for that in the next 12 to 18 months. We're looking for funding, by the way.
Would we have to be off the air that day?
Ooh, that could be a part of it.
Can I just say something really quick to piggyback on that? And this goes back to the economic development. If you think about not only all the callers that just called in that represent nonprofits, but if critical mass, they're an employer in this community. They're an employer that provide benefits. They're an employer that provide income that, you know, people are, they're an employer. They're a critical employer in this community. I think the other piece is, if we weren't to have the nonprofits, if we weren't to have people like Goodwill that, you know, recidivism and transform people's lives so they didn't go back into the jail system, right? That, there's a dollar to that. There's a dollar value to how that is improving and increasing economic development in community. You know, for you know, the homeless people who are at Haven for Hope, and the number of years that individuals go through transformation, and they're working, they have a home, their children are in school,
they're paying taxes.
I mean, it's an incredible upstream. Yes, they're providing services. But if you quantify that and you look downstream to see the benefit that has in community, the cost savings is huge.
So we have to take a good look at San Antonio's nonprofit sector and see, just appreciate it and figure out how we can do, everything we can do to sharpen it up and make sure that everyone is involved and delivering services. If an organization is on your list for the big give, what does that say about the organization? Have they been checked out?
Yes. By all means, what we do is we vet them on the front end. So when they register, they are their EIN is checked through the IRS database to make sure they are in current standing. And before they are even cleared to go, that has to be done. So, you know, this year we probably had four that didn't have their IRS letters yet. They weren't officially, you know, a public charity. And we'll have to wait till next year. So that is critical. Everyone on that site is a viable 501c3 that's accepting charitable
donations. What do we know about the people who's the most likely person to give in San Antonio? I mean, is it a broad base? Is it generationally, or is it certain parts of town? What do we know about this person?
Well, we do have a little bit of a donor survey that we do every year, and it's it's quite telling. It crosses all spectrums of financials. I mean, the bulk of the folks in the 50,000 to 150,000 are the bigger donors, at least that are coming through the big give and are self-reporting that. Women tend to be higher number donors. Now, some of our for-profit members of the council will beg to differ when they're saying, well, I'm calling my wife, telling her to make the donation, and she's doing it, and she's doing the survey. But it's nice. I mean, one thing that we're doing on that site is we're collecting data on the event. So every year we are collecting who the donors are, what their economic income is, and where they're coming from. So it'll help us target a little bit more, if we have marketing dollars, where we're going to reach, and to let the nonprofits know that as well.
A lot going on with San Antonio and giving and philanthropy. The Big Give coming up on March 22nd. There's a ramp up to that right now. You can find links to that on our website at tpr.org. Impact San Antonio is doing everything that they can do to help San Antonio. Laura Watts, thank you so much, President of Impact San Antonio, for being here. Scott McEninch, the CEO of the Nonprofit Council. This report is fascinating reading. And Rebecca Brune, she is the President, Chief Operating Officer for the San Antonio Area Foundation. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.